step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 624. I am your host, as used, Lisa Shetz. I'm joined, as used, from our roving reporter on the Jersey Shore, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. And during the pandemic, we are homegrown and pre-recorded.
Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
It is Wednesday, July 7th, 2021. On the show today, we have those great, incredible folks from Summerstock Austin.
I love them.
And then later, we'll be talking to Georgetown Palace Theater and their production of Mamma Mia. And of course, Nicole and I will have a lovely conversation at the World of Theater in New York, New Jersey, and New Jersey. Stick with us. Nicole, why are all the Dicequiths dying?
I don't know. Why are they, Lisa?
I don't know either. Folks, we should say that Nicole is on vacation. She's taking time out of her vacation. She's in a car. That's what all the background sounds are. It makes for a very wonderful and energy-filled show. Robust and live. So I think... I'm guessing since you're vacating, you haven't necessarily been able to like be totally up on the headlines, but this one I thought you'd find interesting. A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder. There's an online version that's going to happen on July 15th with a 100% Asian cast.
I saw that. I actually think that's really, really cool. And is it Leah Salonga directing it?
No, it's directed, and unfortunately I don't have the right thing in front of me. Oh yeah, there it is. It's directed by somebody who directed Sesame Street, Alan Murakawa. The musical direction is by Stephen Cuevas, who did Once on This Island.
That's a pretty good production crew.
Looks like a lot of fun, and it is a money raiser for Stop Asian Hate, AAPI Hate, Stop AAPI Hate. So I thought that was a good way to start the show out.
I agree. I enjoyed that a lot. That's a really fun show. You really enjoyed it, didn't you?
I did. I didn't really enjoy it. I enjoyed it. I saw the original on Broadway, and I saw the tour when it came through here.
I think more of it's the fascination with Jefferson Mays and all the changing of all the different.
And see, for me, he was the least interesting.
Really?
I liked what's his name that played the lead. Forgot his name. Yeah, Jefferson May.
Me too.
Could take or leave. So that's interesting. So, you know, I guess we now have to do a weekly pose report. So last week, I mentioned that that Patti LuPone was on, and then we were talking about somebody named Norm Lewis on this show. Yes, last week I forgot what we. Oh, because he's doing that straight play,
because Norm Lewis is everything.
And then and then the very next day, I turn on Pose, and who shows up but Norm Lewis?
You're kind of like Beetlejuice, 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 and yeah. They will appear in the episode.
And once again, so we had mentioned, because when I think of Norm Lewis, I think of a musical performer, and this is a straight play. This is Chicken and Biscuits that he's doing in New York with Michael Urie. So once again, on Pose, this was a musical setting. It took place in a church with Billy Porter singing, and he was right there. And guess what? He didn't sing.
They didn't have Norm Lewis sing?
They didn't have Norm Lewis sing.
That's kind of sad because he has just such a beautiful voice.
He does. He has good pipes. And if he keeps practicing, he may get somewhere with them.
He may, that Norm Lewis. He may.
So that's the Pose Report. And then while we're talking about things on television, I have discovered another really wonderful show that has some Broadway bona fides, and that is Blind Spotting.
Oh, I've heard all about it, but I actually haven't seen it. What is it on?
It's well worth it. It's on Stars, and it's from the movie Blind Spotting with David Diggs. And this series is produced by David Diggs, and it stars Jasmine Cephas Jones, who was in Hamilton, played Peggy and the Hua. And she is also in the current In the Heights. No, wrong. Sorry. Eek, she's not in The Heights. Never mind. I don't know why I thought she was in The Heights because about what I'm about to say next, which is in Blind Spotting is also. I just lost his name. Ramos. It's Ramos' first name. Starting in The Heights. Anthony Ramos.
Anthony Ramos. I was like, wait, but you were talking movie, not play. I was like, huh? But Anthony Ramos. Yes.
So also in, I keep wanting to say Train Spotting because of that movie called Train Spotting, but it's not.
Blind Spotting.
It's Blind Spotting. Is Anthony Ramos plays not a major role, but a minor role. So it's got that Broadway connection, and I recommend it. It's a good show.
So Aigliff just did a film recently with the gentleman who directed the original film Blind Spotting that this new series is based on. So I've been curious about it.
Awesome. Well, I've not
really cool.
I've not seen the film, but the series is very theatrical. There's lots of crazy choreography in it. I think theater folks would really enjoy watching it. So
I am curious myself.
Yep. Curiouser and curiouser and curiouser. And then one of the shows that they announced coming back is Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
But did you see their... only doing part one. So how does one?
No, they're not doing part one. They're condensing it into one part. So they're doing parts one and two.
I read that wrong.
In one show, which is different from how they're doing it in the West End because they're still doing it in two parts.
Yeah. So here's my question. Why didn't they just do that originally if that's what they're doing?
Exactly. I agree.
Because they wanted more money.
I don't know.
It's or they possible couldn't edit?
I don't know. But one of the podcasts I listened to, I thought was an interesting point. Like if you're a tourist and you're coming to New York and you have a limited amount of shows that you're going to see that one show, you have to not only invest your time of two different show times, but also you're buying two different Broadway tickets for the same show. So I think it's probably a good thing that they moved it to 1 hour one show.
The Inheritance is another one that is part one, part two. And
as was Nicholas Nickleby.
So, I mean, but, I don't know.
So to me, I think if creatively they could have done it in one sit down, then that's the way it should have been done in the first place.
I agree. So apparently they could if they're doing it now. I don't know what the logic was, but I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, I guess we never, ever will. All right, let's listen to our first interview with Georgetown Palace Theater and their show called, well, you know what? Why don't we just let Lisa and Nicole tell you what show it is?
Let's.
Here it is. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Lisa.
I'm going to turn on the radio on the Zoom machine, okay?
Just one look and I can hear a bell ring. One more look and I forget it.
Mamma Mia, here we go again. Well, you know what that means.
You know what that means. ABBA. ABBA always means a good time. They play ABBA on all the cruise ships. So when I hear ABBA, it just means good time to me.
Well, oh yeah, I'm not familiar with ABBA, but I always play music that are palindromic.
Listen to you, very fancy.
Yes. No, that was Mamma Mia from ABBA or ABBA, depending on how you like to pronounce it. And we have our good friends from Georgetown Palace Theater here again to talk about the show Mamma Mia that's happening coming up very soon in Georgetown. As a matter of fact, they are here on, we're recording this on Saturday, and they are in the middle of their tech day. So I appreciate them taking time out of that day to come and record with us a couple of times.
Yeah, that's gonna be awesome.
Of course, yes.
And joining us here is the artistic director of Georgetown Palace Theater, Ron Watson. Hi, Ron.
Hello.
And then we have Patty Rowell. Hi, Patty.
Hello.
We also have Michelle Chaney. Welcome back, Michelle Chaney.
Hello, Lisa. Thank you.
And Wendy Zavaleta. How are you?
Hi, good.
In full fairness to our audience, they should know that this is the second time we're recording this. Our tech director who puts this all together did not press record, and that person that person will be fired.
In all fairness, I'm on the Zoom on my phone.
And you froze.
And she's frozen. So let's just so you guys are doing the ABBA musical, Mamma Mia. Ron, can you tell folks that aren't familiar with the show what it's about?
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's one of the jukebox musicals. They take the music of ABBA or ABBA, again, whichever your preference. They take that amazing music that everybody loves, and they wrote a narrative and use the music to fit it. The story is a young woman who's getting married. Her name is Sophie. She's getting married on an island in Greece, and she doesn't know who her father is because her mother never told her. And she finds a diary and realizes that it could be one of three men. And so she invites these three men to the island for her wedding, hoping she'll discover who her father truly is. And so she ends up with her causing a reunion, an inadvertent reunion with these three men and her mother, which her mother had various types of relationships with these men, some good, some maybe not so good. So the hijinks ensue from there. Lots of singing and dancing to the music of ABBA. And it's, you know, it's just a fantastic show.
Sounds like Mom was kind of a playa.
She was.
She had some fun in her youth, shall we say.
And still does.
Probably still does.
I don't know about that.
So let's find out what the roles you guys play. Patty, what role are you playing?
I am playing the role of Rosie, one of Donna's best friends and backup singers, and who is a confirmed single who still likes to get it on.
And she's have as good. Is she a cougar?
She is not a cougar.
No, I get
not
that.
A cougar. Okay.
But I will say she has some pole dancing skills.
I know. I would be. That's all I'm saying. Is she a riveter?
Yeah.
No, but she's. She's riveting. Michelle, tell us about the role you're playing.
I played the role of Tanya. It was played by Christine Baranski in the movie, and she is...
she's okay.
She's all right. Yeah. She's all right. But Tanya is a very dear friend of Donna's, just like Rosie, and we're like a trio of buddies, and my character is quite wealthy, been married a few times, likes fashion, likes money, likes younger man, you know...
There you go. We knew we were going to come around to that.
I know. it's a really fun part.
Sounds
and
like she's
been with these two is like it's wonderful.
Yeah, because rumor has it the three of you are besties in real life.
Yeah, we are.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
We are.
IRL, as we computer people say.
Yeah, IRL.
That's right. I know that one.
Wendy, tell us about your role.
I play Donna Sheridan, the mother in question. She is the mother of Sophie and just trying to keep this hotel running for the last, you know, 15 years on this beautiful Greek island. And just puzzled when these men from her past show up for her daughter's wedding. And it's just, it's a very confusing moment for her, but it's a nice arc for her and a nice relationship with her daughter that kind of builds from that whole situation.
So we all know, well, if people don't know the show or the movie, which is, it seems a little bit odd to me that people wouldn't, but they probably know, at least those of us of a certain age, know the music of ABBA or ABBA or UBA. And you guys get to sing some really fun songs as the three of you in the song. What are some of the songs, or what would your be favorite song that y'all are doing in the show?
Dancing Queen.
We love Dancing Queen. Yeah. The choreographer just let us go nuts on that one. Like you said, we are best friends in real life. So, you know, that chemistry really comes off. We're having fun with each other. We're just going nuts on that song. And the other one we do is Super Trooper, which is also
and that's great because that's also a group number too. There's some beautiful ballads too, but the music is just fun.
Yeah,
you know, the ballads are beautiful. Wendy's just incredible.
Really
beautiful, and a lot of ballads in the second act. But it's fun music. It's just flat out fun.
It's hard not to like it. And as a matter of fact, you're guaranteed a standing ovation at the end.
I hope so. We're sure of
it. But what's funny,
they may not be able to hear us sing because they'll be singing along. You know, we may not be heard.
Right.
What's funny is, you know, I've known ABBA for a while. I'm a person of a certain age. And when the song Super Trooper, that's also the name of the follow spots that were used back in the day. And everybody had Super Troopers.
So I did not know that until the show.
Yeah. So when I think of Super Troopers, I think of a follow spot. And I will tell you one little thing as a ex Super Trooper operator, and this has nothing to do with your show, but if you ever wonder when you're watching a show and you see the spotlight just open and it's right on that person's face.
Yeah.
And how they do that with the light off, how they key it up. Yeah. Well, the Super Trooper has got light leaks all over it. So in the booth where the operator is, above it are notations, and where the light leaks are is where it's like, pick up Michelle in act two. And there's a note there, and you just line up the light leak to that. And then when you open it up, you're right there.
Well, you just added a whole other element to that song for us.
It's really amazing. If you ever go up into I'm sure like the Paramount or any of these old theaters have been around for all those notes are usually still in the follow spot booths.
Cool.
So that sounds amazing. So, Ron, I know you're not directing this. Who is directing it, and who are some of the other key players, the key creatives?
So Mary Ellen Butler is the director of the show. Richard Chirato is the choreographer. Leah Knight is our music director. She's also our conductor. She's conducting we are using tracks for this one.
Okay. How does one conduct the tracks? That's an interesting thing.
Well,
She does. We use a program called Sinfonia, and it allows you to adjust the tempo and hold and all those things. And it takes a trained musician to do it. So
she's
doing it for our show.
She's really good.
Justin Dom designed the set. Faith Castaneda is designing the lights for the show. Ellen Sims is designing our costumes.
Awesome. It sounds like a great team. And I love the idea of conducting the electronic score. What fun is that?
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Ron, tell us so we know that this show is opening soon, and we're going to get to the details of that in a second. Tell us about the rest of your season.
Okay. So the rest of our 2021 season, that we're sort of the abbreviated tail end now that we're back, we're being able to open again. After Mamma Mia, we've got on in our small black box, The Playhouse, Boeing by Mark Camilleri's hilarious comedy, identity crisis, man trying to pull one over on his three fiancés, and it all blows up in his face. Hysterical.
Good.
Yeah, exactly. hilarious door slamming farce. And then after that, back on the big stage, we've got The Marvelous Wonderettes, which is a show about four women, 10 years at their high school prom, and then 10 years later they come back. And so you've got all of your favorite hits from the 50s and 60s, Lollipop, Mr. Sandman, just the hits everyone's used to. They're lovely music. It's good. I think everyone's going to really like that show. And then after that, in our small theater, we go back Neil Simon's Lost in Yonkers, one of his classic plays that's, you know, it's Neil Simon, so it's fantastic as well. That closes out the season. Then we've actually got a special event. Jason Williams is coming to the Springer stage doing one of his one-man shows, Clear to Partly Crazy. It happens middle of September.
Well, we love Jason. He's a regular here on the show. It sounds like a wonderful season. Tell us what you are doing. I know that this is the first show in the big stage that is at full capacity. What are you doing? What are the mask rules for this particular production?
Yeah, so we're following we updated our policies to follow what the CDC's recommendations are. So the masks are now completely optional for the fully vaccinated. If you are not fully vaccinated, then we strongly recommend that you wear a mask. We're not asking a proof of any kind for the vaccination. We've given our performers the option because when they started the rehearsal process and the casting process, they were told they would be wearing a mask probably throughout the performance. But with the CDC's guidelines, we've made it optional. And I think we definitely still have at least a couple of performers who are going to be wearing masks during the performance. And we'll work that into the costume and no one's going to know the difference. It's still going to be a fabulous show.
Wonderful. Well, it sounds great. Tell us when the show opens and how long it runs.
Yeah, it opens next Friday, so July 9th. And then it runs for 5 weekends, which I believe is August 7th or August 8th. I think it's August 8th is a Sunday. That's when it closes. Tickets are selling really fast. So we've already had to add an extra performance, and if that keeps selling, we'll add some more. We'll just start running the show 24 hours a day.
Hey, wonderful. Ron, let me ask you to say that last sentence over again without using the word selling.
Sorry. Tickets are going fast. And if the tickets continue to go fast, we're going to need to add more performances. So we've already added one on July 24th. It's a matinee in the afternoon.
That's amazing. It's a very good problem to have. So congratulations on that. And for all of you, thank you once again for being on Offstage and on the Air. It's double the pleasure, double the fun here.
It is.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa.
Sorry we lost Nicole.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We should say arrivederci, Nicole. She has issues with Zoom and it continues on. So thanks again for being on the show.
Thanks, Lisa.
Awesome. Okay, Mamma Mia at Georgetown Palace Theater.
I'm so glad I met you.
Mamma Mia. And I think, Mamma Mia is hard not to like. I mean, just for an enjoyable, brainless evening. But if you were a fan of ABBA, you will love it. So
yeah, it really is just a show that you're going in to have. It's just a party and a show is what it is, basically.
It's a party in a box.
It's not a thought piece. It's a fun piece. It's a party piece.
That's true. So let's take a break and then we'll come back after the break and talk about other stuff, shall we?
Let's do it.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa in Austin, Texas, and
Nicole in the Jersey Shore.
She's a Jersey Shore girl. I hope you see
pumping the Jersey out of this girl.
There you go. Well, let's talk about some other stuff that's going on. We talked about blind spotting, and I forgot to mention the other thing that's tangential to that. First of all, I did not know, this is another television thing, the series This Is Us.
I love it.
So the character Randall has his father that he located. He was given up at birth. And his father was played by Ron Cephas Jones.
Mm-hmm. His birth father. Yeah, his very, very, very excellent. Like his storylines and his he's so good. They're all
right,
so
but
good.
The point I'm making is it's played by Ron Cephas Jones, who I did not realize. And now that I think about it, it's pretty obvious. He is the father to Jasmine Cephas Jones.
Yeah, right. When you really do say those names, it does kind of make sense.
They kind of make sense. So I did not realize that they're related. And that's so the apple don't fall too far from the tree.
Right? Some good jeans.
Speaking of Hamilton, did you read in the newspaper that they, and I honestly don't know how I feel about this, they got $30 million in government aid.
Yeah, okay. I did. And I was like, really? Don't get me. No, I have a problem with it, Lisa.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I have a problem.
I'm torn. I'm just saying I'm torn.
Not me.
Well, because the people it's protecting are employees. So that's what I'm torn about.
Lin-Manuel Miranda could be totally like Andrew Leigh Webber, and he's that big. He has that much money. He made how much off the Disney deal? He could have taken some out of the pocket and played it for the team, for the artists. The fact that Andrew Lloyd Webber is the one fighting for the artists and the only person is kind of crazy right now.
Okay. You know what? I was on the fence, but now I think you convinced me. You're right. If Lin-Manuel Miranda wanted to walk the walk, he would give that $50 million back to the government and pay for it out of his own pocket. Although $50 million is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Like,
When I said $50 million, I meant $30 million. But okay, still,
$30 million is still a lot of money.
It's still a lot of money. It could buy a lot of cheeseburgers.
A lot of cheeseburgers. Maybe cheeseburgers in paradise.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so I really don't know how I feel about when you have these companies that that are doing really well and have the resources to make it through a really terrible time like the pandemic. Do they take money from the government, or do they just pony it up themselves since ostensibly they can afford it? So, but I did not read the whole article.
I would feel halfway about it. But then when I know that you made millions and millions off the Disney deal and how many people downloaded over the pandemic, and you add that on top of the price, then I'm like, yeah, no, sorry. Nope.
Yeah. Well, so on the other side of the coin, Yale School of Drama is going to have free tuition.
I find that fascinating. And I haven't gotten into the nitty gritty of like, how are they going to subsidize all the because you have to still pay professors, you still have costs. So like, how is this all going to be subsidized now?
Well,
I didn't read everything.
Part of it is a donation by David Geffen of $150 million to Yale School of Drama. And so the tuition used to be $32,000 a year. So
which is crazy to me. It's so much. That is like a quarter of the price of NYU Tisch School for the Arts. So that fascinated me that it's that much of a big difference between those two schools.
So what's amazing is that Yale is not the only school that has done this. The Yale School of Music does not have tuition, and NYU's medical school does not have tuition.
So I knew about NYU Medical School, and I think that started 2 years ago. That was even before the pandemic that the medical school started that. I did know that. I didn't realize that it went further and that there were so many others. Fascinating.
Yeah, what I find fascinating is how much more competitive it will be to get into Yale School of Drama. And Yale School of Drama is like an excellent school to begin with, because they have a Lort company connected to them with Yale Rep. So, so there are so many possibilities if you get to be a student at Yale School of Drama, and now you don't have to pay tuition. Maybe I'll go.
Yeah. I mean, on top of, and you're earning, I mean, cause you'll walk out of there with an equity card. There are not many colleges and universities where you go and get your training and walk out of there with your equity card. I mean, we're very lucky in Austin that St. Edward's offers that. But there aren't a lot of schools.
Really, it's only Juilliard. And probably not so much. I haven't heard so much about the acting company lately, so I don't even know if the acting company is still in existence.
Oh, I don't know. We'll have to investigate, Lisa.
Yes. So speaking of coming back, this is actually a good story. All the new all the new plays coming to Broadway in this fall season are written by Black playwrights.
Isn't that crazy? I saw that. It was out in the Broadway briefing on Friday, I think.
It was. And not only that, and for some reason, the article...
Isn't it eight new plays?
Seven, I believe. But you might be right. Eight.
And all of the playwrights have all been on Broadway before, I believe, except for two.
No, it's the other way around. Most of them are going to making their Broadway debut. Yeah, all but two of the playwrights are making their Broadway debut. Four of them are women. So that's pretty cool. And then
it's except really cool. There's,
and the plays coming in, the other three are To Kill a Mockingbird, Harry Potter that we just talked about, and the Lehman Brothers. And they were all there before the pandemic. So the plays by Black playwrights in the order when they begin is Passover, which we've talked about on this show.
Ruben and I Santiago. Did look it back up. It is at the August Wilson Theater because I was like, remember we were trying to remember where it was. And I was like, yes.
Yes, you're correct. Ruben Santiago Hudson's Lackawanna Blues, Chicken and Biscuits, which we just talked about with Norm Lewis, Thoughts of a Colored Man by playwright and slam poet Keenan Scott, Trouble in Mind by Alice Childress, Clyde's, by Lynn Nottage, directed by Kate Wariski, Skeleton Crew, and that's it. Skeleton Crew is the last one.
I knew Skeleton Crew. I didn't know all of them.
Yeah, so I think that's pretty. So the preface of this article is talking about when Broadway comes back, you know, a couple of things have happened since the pandemic, and one of them was this racial, enlightenment. About all the lack of racial equity that we've had in theater, and will Broadway do something about it? And at least from the straight play standpoint, the answer seems to be yes.
I was like, they seem to be doing it. And you know what? There was something else. The reason I said Leah Salonga when you were talking about the one cast, Leah Salonga is directing another show that they're doing an all Asian American cast. And I believe it was in the Broadway briefing on Friday with this article. Boy, that's going to kill me now.
Yeah, well, we'll figure it out. We'll talk about it next week. And now I'm very excited to say, excited and not happy all at the same time, because what the Constitution means to me and is going to relaunch its tour with Cassie Beck at the helm, but they're not coming to Austin.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's going on any time. I didn't see it in Houston or Austin. I didn't look for Dallas or San Antonio.
It's in Dallas.
Okay, that's why.
Yeah, it'll be playing Dallas. So it's going to play. It's October 24th. It opens at the Guthrie. And then it'll play Chicago, Princeton, New Jersey, Detroit, Dallas, Hartford, Connecticut, Charlotte, North Carolina, Boston, and Nashville.
Well, when's it playing in Dallas? Maybe we can go, and then we can go get Bubba's fried chicken.
Here's what I'm going to say. It's happening after October 24th.
Well, I know that.
It did not give dates.
Well, we'll have to look, because we may have to take a road trip and get some Bubba's fried chicken and what the Constitution means to me.
We could just go and get Bubba's fried chicken.
We can. It's so good. You hear me talk about it all the time.
Yes, I do. And Six announces its 2022 national tour.
Isn't that bananas? Like, it barely got to play on Broadway. It was there, and they've already, I guess they've had time to figure it out. Why not?
Yep. So it's going to play in Chicago at the CIBC Theater, which is, I think, where Hamilton was in Chicago. And it's going to schedule to resume on Broadway on September 17th with an open night on October 3rd.
That's kind of exciting.
I think it is exciting.
I really want to see that.
Me too. Me too.
It's like Spice Girls meets Henry VIII's Wives to me.
I think that's a great description. I think that's a great description.
Who doesn't want to go see something like that?
Well, let's listen to our second interview for this week. Our lovely friends once again, I'm not going to say who they are.
We're going to let them do it.
We're going to let them do it. Nicole, I just wrote a song. Would you like to hear it?
I'd love to hear it, Lisa.
Summer stock, oh, summer stock. I have a lock on summer stock. Why do you hawk on summer stock? It's summer stock. Austin.
Austin.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's a song I've been working on for a few years. You just heard the latest arrangement. And fortunately for us, we have Summer Stock Austin here on the show with us right now.
I know. We got some Summer Stock in the Zoom machine, and it's kind of exciting.
We do. Let's welcome Ronan Malomo. How are you, Ronan?
Doing you know great, what? Guys. Thanks for having me on.
I don't know your title. Who the hell are you? What do you do with Summer Stock?
I'm an alum of the program. I'm an alum of the program, but I'm also helping to produce this season.
Very good. And then we have a couple more alums and a couple more creatives on this season. We have Donnie Thigpen. Hi, Donnie.
Hello, hello.
And then Peyton, you got rid of your last name on the thing, so I don't know what it is.
It's Peyton Calhoun.
Peyton Calhoun. I wrote Donnie's name down, so I wouldn't. So Calhoun. All right. I am not editing that out. So Summer Stock Austin is a melange of things this year, but we're here primarily to talk about a really fun, I think, outdoor event of the musical Bring It On. Am I the least bit correct?
You are correct about the show. Yeah.
Yeah, the show
is not outdoors. I read on the Summer Stock Austin webpage that it was outdoors. So I guess I may have read incorrectly.
Yeah, that was the original plan. We were trying to, you know, make it an immersive experience. So we wanted it to be on a football field. Football fields are expensive. So we had to make
it. Not mine. Not mine. I have a free one in my backyard.
Oh, see, you didn't let us know.
Well, it's small. It's in miniature.
Oh, okay. 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 Okay.
Okay. So it was originally going to be done on football field, which makes a lot of sense. But yes. Now it is being done where?
At the McCullough Theater on UT campus.
Lovely. Mm-hmm. I've heard of both of those things.
Yeah. So we're doing theater in a theater, which it was not the original plan, but seems to be working out pretty well, I think.
Well, it's okay. So for folks that aren't familiar with Bring It On, the musical, could you tell me? And before we go on, I just have to say that every time I sit down to record, there's dogs barking. So, you know, this is part of
hearing today.
This is part of pandemic land. So tell us about Bring It On, the musical.
Ronan, you want to start? Or I can.
I mean, please don't fight. I'd like to keep this as civil as possible.
So Bring It On is we're in separate places, but Bring It On is based on the film from I think 2000, that era, and you know it's about high school cheerleaders from rival schools, and they come together to kind of find, even though they're different, you know, to find some sort of similarities in become better people at the end of the day.
Wonderful. Now, you know, I know that high school cheerleading has in real life has changed quite a bit from my day, where it was just a few people like doing that crazy kick with some pom-poms. And now these cheerleaders are true athletes doing remarkable gymnastics and very dangerous things. Are y'all doing pieces of that within this show?
Definitely. Absolutely. Yeah. No, one of the big appeals of the show was the fact that we could incorporate like talents that we, you know, might have pulled here and there for some of our past seasons, but, you know, we never really got to experiment in that realm and use tumbling from the kids. So it was really fun during the audition process. We got to see a bunch of kids who really have worked on their skill and their craft and done competitions and all that stuff. So it's like combining the cheerleading world with the theater world. You know, some people who might never have done theater are trying out the season and being a part of our company to use those skills there. And so we're going to be using cheerleaders that are actively cheering and competing. And then we're also using high school students and college students who do both. So
great experience for everyone involved. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Am I in it?
You're the flyer.
Yeah. Well, you have a huge basket top.
Okay. So, you know, I forgot to ask you, Donnie and Peyton, what are your roles in this production? What are y'all doing?
So we're part of the producing team as well, but we're actually the marketing managers. We joined the team on the back end like this in 2020, after our careers in acting and dance and singing kind of took a halt, but we are now.
Really? What happened? Not familiar.
This little thing called a pandemic, but it's all for the best.
Right. Well, yeah. So, and it's to the benefit of Summerstock Austin that you guys are doing it. And this is going to be directed by Ginger Morris.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And Corey.
Ginger Morris and Michael Avila of UT. Michael Avila is joining us to help co-direct the show.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. And also, are they co-choreographing as well?
So the choreographers, we do have two choreographers, but one is Hunter Reagan, who's a former UT cheer captain, who's going to be doing all the cheer stuff, which is really phenomenal because he's going to be able to come in and work like really professionally with the current cheerleaders we have and also teach all the new people who are new to cheering and studying the like safety first way to go through it. So I feel really, really confident with him at the helm. And then we have Matthew Kennedy, who is another former SSA alum, a little bit of a TikTok sensation and hip hop dancer and choreographer, who's coming in to do all of our hip hop choreography. And he is such like an incredible energy in the rehearsal room. And so really, really excited.
What a combo between those two. And they both have like the cheer theater cross lines, even though they're in their own lanes. Like, what a great combo.
Yeah.
No, I mean, just from seeing the first rehearsal, like having two choreographers seems like daunting and that there's not going to be a lot of cohesiveness, but two separate rooms were going on, two separate rehearsals, and then they brought the number together and it was phenomenal.
It was like amazing. It's,
you can see the difference, the more hip hop, the more like street dance type of vibe. And then you have the very precise cheer and it somehow all works together with them never having worked together and being like in totally different realms. So it's really cool.
Wonderful. Yeah. Now, how big is this cast?
I think it's about big. 40
or 50.
Yeah.
But you know what you could do? You could look at the contact sheet and just count. That would be a way to figure it out.
I think it's 50. I think I've emailed 50.
But if it's 40 or 50, that's a long count. We'd be here.
That's very large. And the McCullough Theater, it's not huge, is it?
Mm-hmm. It's not very big.
No.
I do believe it definitely seats more than Rollins. I have never seen the space in person, but we're going to be social distancing and everything still. So we have like room to play. But the audience size is definitely bigger than if you weren't like social distancing.
Theater. That I do too. Nicole and I have sat in that theater together several times. I do have some questions with regards to social distancing now that you bring it up.
Yeah.
What about the audience? Are we doing full capacity?
No, we will not be doing full capacity. We are going in at about half capacity. You know, obviously, as things change, the show's not opening for another month. Where we are in a month, whether that needs to go up or down, we're going to be flexible.
But you have to be flexible when you're doing cheerleading.
Well, you know, and I'm doing my stretches every day and it's not getting better.
I hear you. Well, so there will be some COVID-19 mitigation, and that's something that as we know is changing daily. So that will.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
Nicole was saying something. And what did you say?
I said ever changing.
Oh,
yes. That's the word. And of course, you know, we can't, being on state grounds, we can't require masks, but we welcome them very heartily. They are our friends. We'll also be, you know, for anyone wondering, we will be practicing pretty strict social distancing measures backstage. TPA has been really lovely and is sort of letting us take over the dressing rooms and backstage areas of both Bass Concert Hall and the McCullough. So we're going to have like tons of different dressing rooms to keep the actors separate and safe during any sort of like backstage warm-ups and makeup and all of that, staggering call times. You know, we've got our production crew and stage manager crew are working really hard to make sure that that is safe. for everybody.
I should note that theater also redid the whole HVAC system. Like TPA redid everything and really worked on that whole system.
Wow. Even in the McCullough as well, or is it?
Yeah, they were working on. I believe so, Lisa. I believe they were doing the whole theatrical complex during that time.
Awesome. Well, tell us when Bring It On happens.
Bring It On. Yeah. Go ahead, Aiden.
Please, I'd like to keep this civil.
Go ahead. Cheer battle, cheer battle.
Oh God, Peyton would win so fast.
I was a cheerleader. So Bring It On. I got a background.
Yeah. Bring It On is going to open on July 15th, and that's a Thursday. And we're going to run until Sunday, August 1st. Oh, I was just going to say, there's going to be some like two show days on the weekends. We're going to have some Monday shows, some Wednesday shows. There's going to be plenty of chances, but with that limited seating capacity, tickets might go fast.
Of course. And where do folks go to get more information about the show?
So folks can go to summerstockaustin.org for information about the show. Tickets aren't on sale quite yet, but trust me, you will know when they are. Well,
As we said, we can go to Summerstock Theater Austin, summerstockaustin.org to get information, whatever it is. So I have a question generally about Summerstock. So typically Summerstock is done at the Long Center in the Rollins. It's usually three shows done in repertory. Clearly that's not happening this time. Is it, I know you have other performances that are going to happen as part of Summerstock Austin at different times. Are we using the same cast and crew? As you know, one of the wonderful things about Summerstock is you may be acting in one show and then you're pulling fly systems in the second show, even though there is no fly system in the Rollins, but that's beside the point.
Yeah. So we actually have like a full company. So the other show we're doing is called Scout. It's an original movie musical that we have been filming and working on. And while the process was kind of separate between the two, there's a lot of crossover between cast, and we're really upholding the idea of like, you're still in a full company, even though maybe your shoot dates are over, or maybe you're only rehearsing this. So we are including them in fundraising efforts and marketing efforts. They're learning all the ins and outs that we got to learn when we were doing the, you know, original type of Summerstock framework.
I want to point out to our radio audience that Peyton just did air quotes.
I did. But so while it looks a little different, we really value the fact that you know, our students get to be a part of all the ins and outs, because obviously you never know what's going to happen. You don't know when you might end up on the other end of the table. Definitely true for me and Donnie and Ronan. And we're really happy about what we've learned. So definitely bringing that in just a little bit of a different way, but all of our students are helping and being a part of it when they can throughout this entire time.
Awesome. And we should say that the original movie musical is written by Alan Robertson. He's kind of new to the scene here in Austin, but people will get to know him as he moves on in his career. We expect to see much of him. Well, I'm thrilled.
It's also, just real quick, just wanted to credit where credit is due. It's Alan Robertson and Damon Brown, the classic dynamic duo.
But we only care about Alan, so let's just be clear about that.
They make some good stuff, man.
That's true.
Amazing. Mm-hmm.
Well, wonderful. Thank you guys all for coming and joining us on Offstage and On the Air, the coronavirus edition. We look forward to seeing you back here when we get back in the studio.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Thank y'all so much.
You're welcome. We'll see ya.
We ain't no cheerleaders. We don't do favors from no football team.
All right. Well, that song we heard at the end of that was from Bring It On, the musical. And it was We Ain't No Cheerleaders.
I just love Bring It On, the musical. I was just talking to Morgan about Bring It On, the musical earlier.
Well, I am looking forward to seeing Summerstock Austin's version.
Me too. That Ginger Morris, she always does good stuff. And she put together a good little production team. Woo.
And with that, we're going to say goodbye to you for another hour of Offstage and On the Air. We've talked about New York streets. We've talked about Emmys. I didn't say that, by the way. When we were talking about Jasmine and Ron Cephas Jones, they're announcing the primetime Emmys.
Okay, I was like, Emmys? Did we miss? I missed that.
Okay. So you've been enjoying the non sequitur version, stream of consciousness version of Offstage and On the Air. Next week, perhaps we'll be a little bit more organized. But in the meantime, we'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye.
Bye.